Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. To rise up everybody and burn down the system, fail the exit pool. Wake up the silence.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show with our lead-in music, of course, from the great Zero King, those great rockers out of West Virginia. And tonight's going to be just a really cool show for me on a personal level, for Michael on a personal level, and then Susan gets to have a lot of fun with our pair of guests tonight, which is going to be great, because I don't know if did I have a chance to tell you, Susan, Mike, what happened to me at the track today?
The winning horse, yes.
Yeah. I am part of a great broadcast team that does simulcast broadcast at Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky, and I do that in April and October each year. And we're sitting there in the fifth race, and suddenly I look up on the list of names and the horses, and there's a not a long shot, but like a mid shot, you know, like an 8-1, 9-1 kind of horse, named Valentino Beauty. And I just was like, oh, that horse is going to win. I just had this feeling. And sure enough, it won first place. So in the fifth race today at Keeneland in Lexington. So I just thought that was a kind of a cool omen for the guests tonight. And I definitely should have been betting today, because at 8-1, that's not a bad payoff. So I could have definitely used at least a couple extra bucks. So, but you know, it is as it is. But I thought it was really cool, and I remember dropping a message out that Valentino Beauty won in the fifth. So I thought that was a kind of a cool prelude to tonight for sure. We got some cool stuff going on. And the one thing we talked about earlier in the show, Michael, tomorrow, finally, it looks like, I've been assured that it's going to be on the stands, but it's the new Fangoria spotlighting you. So what's your plan tomorrow for that?
I plan to have my personal chef make my favorite breakfast, and then once I get in the limo, then we'll go over there on the way to the.
That's how Seven Star Press authors live, you know. Marlin.
Yeah.
I bought him a new Mustang when he signed with us. You know, he'll back me up.
I'll roll out of bed, drink my coffee with you sitting next to my dog, watching the Today Show, and then at some point I'll mosey on over and pick it up.
I'm going to make a beeline for Joseph Beth, because I can't wait to see this thing. I promise everybody I will probably take a photo right there on the newsstand to throw it up on Facebook real quick.
You better take a picture.
I put
out the message to all my faithful readers to extra points to anyone who posts a picture with the new Fango open to my picture. So. Tomorrow is when they're on the stand, so I'm looking forward to seeing some excited readers with Fango.
yeah, I've been so impatient for this thing to come out. It's a really cool ad, and just being in Fango, and doesn't hurt that Scarlett Johansson happens to be on the cover of this one, which is always a nice bonus. So, I'm looking forward to checking this thing out finally, and because it's been quite a run here, and a lot of people are really getting into your stuff, and of course, as of last month, you know, you hit the bestseller status. So, yeah, I think this is definitely hitting at the right time with your perfect audience. So that's kind of cool. I'm really excited about that.
Just had a lengthy conversation today with the artist Matthew Perry for the illustrations for my new novel, The Legacy of the Gods, Book 2, Hades Disciples. So there's some really, really cool stuff going to be in this one.
Yep. And actually all three of us are having our new, well, you're of course the eminent one, but Susan and I both are having our new books, next forthcoming books, being illustrated by Matt. So this is kind of like the Matt Perry group tonight. <It's kinda laughs> cool.
Well, Matt is amazing. That is for sure. He it's almost scary because, you know, I'll give him a passage from one of my books, and I'll say, this is what I'm thinking of would make a good illustration. And then he shows me the illustration, and I swear to God that he has been inside my head and has actually tapped into the video feed, because the stuff that he gives me just looks like exactly what I was picturing when I wrote it, if not better than what I was picturing when I wrote it. So
I've had that happen several times myself, and I tend to, like I said, I like to let Matt do as much as he can, you know, in terms of creativity, and so I try not to box him in too much on what I give him for artwork, and obviously sometimes, you know, I have to tell him a few things that are key, that are obviously in conflict with the book if they're not there, but inevitably what happens is what you said, you know, he'll just, it's like he's got a little beeline into your brain and, yeah, figures out exactly what something, you know, supposed to look like, and it's just amazing because, you know, like I said, you know, often I just let him have a go at it, and he just comes right up with something that looks just perfect. So it's kind of neat how that dynamic works. And I know Susan, yes, is going to be seeing artwork from him for the first time with her new one. So, yeah, get ready,
I
Susan.
I can't wait to see what he comes up with.
Yeah.
Today I was having a conversation with him about one passage that, of course, all the pre-readers said that he had to illustrate. And so we were talking about that, and I said, I can't wait to see what you come up with for this. And he was like, I can't wait to see what I come up with for it either. So it'll be awesome, yeah. I'm sure, when it's done.
Yeah, no, and yeah, you gave me a momentary heart attack because I thought, oh, God, here we go. This is going to be the most scandalous thing ever.
Well, we joked about the fact that, the love scenes from all the Legacy of the Gods books are going to be the ones that get illustrated. So we did it with the last one, and now we've got a very, you know, unique, shall we say, scene.
Well, here we go.
Doing this
Legacy of the Gods love scene pinup calendar. I can see that coming now.
Oh, man.
Oh man, but yeah, it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be really cool. I can't wait to see all that stuff.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, let's not keep our guests waiting any longer because
I'm about to get to.
Oh, all right. Well, because I'm just so psyched. Two of my favorite people in the world, and we have them here for you, Nick and Elizabeth Valentino.
And welcome. We have just brought them live into the Star Chamber. Welcome, Nick and Elizabeth. You are live.
Hello.
Hello.
They're here.
Awesome. They're here.
Yeah.
We're here.
So how are you guys?
Oh, pretty good. I can't complain.
I every Friday night, Elizabeth, I was thinking about you every time I watched Dracula.
There's one time in Dracula Sheila.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first time, the first time Elizabeth and I met, we were at a convention, and we sat on a panel on vampires. It wasn't even a vampire panel, was it?
It wasn't even about vampires.
But somehow it got turned into a vampire panel, and about every third person that opened their mouth would say, "Well, in Dracula."
Dracula had nothing to do with what we were talking about. I had a hard time not laughing so hard through that whole panel.
I know. And it's like every so often you and I would look at each other and we'd just burst out, like, you know, have to contain our laughter.
I know.
She literally still says that all the time.
You know, if you don't know what to say, you're like, well, in Dracula.
Well, for those listeners out there who may not be familiar with your stuff, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Selves.
I write dirty books.
Okay, and Nick?
Oh, okay.
You read the dirty books?
I do. I'm the proofreader. It's nice. No, she doesn't only write just dirty books. There's some that are dirty. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah, she has lots of stuff. She has Bound by Blood, which is, you know, a vampire where...
Ooh, and guess what? Dracula's in it.
Awesome.
See, there you go.
You know what really sucked, Elizabeth, is like the next year or the year after, I pitched a panel to that convention that we should do Well in Dracula. And I did that whole thing. Uh-huh. They did the panel. They didn't even put me on it.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Well, next time we're at a convention together, we need to do that.
We do. Even if it's just us sitting in the corner somewhere. We just,
yeah, that's right.
We're going
to come to a Well in Dracula panel. All by ourselves. We should make it a drinking game.
There you go. Yeah, we should do that. We should do that at one con. You know, just anytime somebody says "Well in Dracula," we just take a shot, and by the end, we'll end up in an emergency room or something.
Probably.
Well, I'd say with some guests like John Hartness and James Tuck and all them, that could be quite a party. Definitely. Oh my God, that'd be dangerous.
But fun.
Well, Nick, yeah. Besides reading Elizabeth's dirty books, what do you do?
I just read her dirty books. I wrote the Thomas Riley steampunk adventure series. I'm in book two of there's three in all. And two came out last summer. So I'm real super excited about that. Both Liz and I are in a steampunk compilation, an anthology called Her Majesty's Mysterious Conveyance, and it's pretty neat. It's like a kind of a themed anthology where, like, all the different stories had to be in a non-traditional steampunk land, and they had to be involve a queen or an empress as well. So we did stories in each one of those. They're pretty fun. She has one that's Serbian, and mine is Japanese.
And I had to write YA appropriate. That was very hard.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, I'm a huge fan of Japanese culture and Asian culture, and I always love setting stories in Japan and the Far East.
It was pretty neat. You know, I had to do a little research, but I went to Japan once for like a week, and so I tried to you know, to base it off of what I saw there, and then of course, you know, my personal knowledge and research. It was a lot of fun though.
So what, is yours set in modern Japan or feudal Japan?
No, feudal.
Feudal? Oh, cool. Well, I guess that would make more sense for the steampunk to be in feudal Japan.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. everything is different, as you know, most steampunk kind of stuff is. But it was neat. It was a fun story to write, and it's one of the shorts that I'm most proud of. It's pretty cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I know both of you. We touched on it a little bit, but both of you like to attend conventions on a regular basis. And,
we do.
What's your schedule looking like for the coming year?
Well, I mean, really, right now, I guess the next thing we have coming up is actually starts tomorrow here in Seattle. And at NorwestCon, we're gonna be there selling and signing and running around like fools. So it'll be fun. Super excited
Very cool.
about that. Yeah. And then I think actually mainly for fun, as cons go, we're going to Dallas Comic Con because it's kind of our anniversary present to each other. And then the cast of Firefly is there. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So she gets
that's
to
right. Nathan Fillion's going to be there.
I'm so excited.
We've been talking about it forever, so it was something where it's like, okay, well, he's going to be here, so we're going. And then it just ended up where, like, almost all of the cast is going to be there, so we're super stoked.
Awesome. Well, yeah, a friend of mine, Chris J., does the celebrity photo ops. And he posted a shot of him with Nathan Fillion from one of the Comic Cons, and I said, "Captain Hammer!" Oh, and Nathan Fillion's in the picture too. So it was, yeah. I'm a huge fan of Firefly, so that is awesome.
Yeah, and the entire, I think everybody but Zoe's going to be there, so almost the whole cast.
Wow.
Yeah, I got really upset at the last Fandom Fest because Zoe was there, but she was only there Friday night and Saturday. Well, I said, well, I'll get her Saturday before she leaves. Well, by the time I got over there, she was doing a photo op and then a panel, and then she was leaving. So she was, like, done for the weekend. So I never got her.
Oh, man. Yeah, I didn't know about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I wasn't happy, but no, it was cool because I got to I got to meet some of the cast, and then they're going to have some more of the cast there this year too. So that'll be fun.
Cool.
Well, I know you both are into costuming, or being costumed. I know that there have been some interesting moments at cons with your costumes. I know when we were supposed to meet, it was a signing that Steven was doing actually at Gen Con, and we were supposed to meet Elizabeth. We're supposed to meet Elizabeth
yeah,
for dinner.
At Borders.
Yeah.
That week. Yeah, I remember that.
And so we were sitting there at dinner, and we're like holding Elizabeth a spot at the table, and we call her, and she's like, "I'm on my way." I'm like, "Okay." And then she called back, and she goes, "I'm having trouble getting through the crowd."
Yeah.
Over there, so can. And we're like, "Okay." So then we've, like, eaten our entire dinner. You know, we've had appetizers come, we've had dinner come and everything, and she's still not there. And so I call her up, and I said, are you okay? She goes, yeah, I'm still trying to get through the crowd. And I said, okay, well, at this point, we're gonna meet you about halfway. So literally, people were stopping her. She couldn't go more than two steps before
uh-huh.
someone would
yep.
stop her to take a picture with her.
That's what happens when you dress up at cons. It's fun, but then sometimes it's hard. Like, you're, like, just trying to make it to the bathroom, and they're like, can we get a picture? Like, yeah.
I think that was the year you made chainmail out of pop tops.
Soda tabs. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. How do you even make? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you just—it's really very—it's time-consuming, and it's a lot of It's a lot of work, but you just kind of weave them together. It's pretty cool.
That well, weekend was absolutely crazy because she literally, I mean, it's like you saw it, but it was like that the entire time. So it was like she could walk 4 feet and then boom, so there was someone else. Hey, can I get a picture? And it was like, it was crazy. Like, we couldn't go anywhere that whole weekend. It was crazy. But, I mean, in a good way. It was funny and really cool, but wow. I've never seen anything like it. It was pretty wild.
Well, for those of us who have never written or read a steampunk story, what is steampunk?
I like the I like the easy version now. I just like Victorian science fiction.
That's what I tell everybody. I'm like, you know, with the gears and gadgets and stuff. They're like, oh, okay. I'm like, all right, that's easy.
But, you know, there's so many people that for years have, like, tried to tear it apart and figure this out and what is and what isn't. And you know what? It's just Victorian science fiction. It could be anything. It could be lasers. It could be spaceships. It can be time travel. It can be whatever you want it to be. We don't like to put rules on it in this house.
Well, I know one thing for me that because I know it when I see it, but one thing for me is that to me steampunk is so visual that when I would sit down and try to think of how to actually write it in detail, I'm like going, I'm not an engineer. I don't know if I can can do all the this gear does this and you know the whole mechanics of it.
Oh yeah, you know it really doesn't have to work. That's the beauty of it. You know, I have airships that would never ever fly, but in that world they do. So I just kind of go in that direction. But yeah, you're right. It is totally visual, where like you know you're describing all the weaponry and the machines and the bullets and you know everything to really get across that engineering kind of feel.
So how much research goes into to one of your books or stories?
I usually do even like everybody thinks it's funny, I research for my paranormal books, but I get some of my best inspiration from reading old myths and legends. Like if I'm going to write about vampires, I get every book from the library I can on vampires. I think the library thinks I'm crazy though, because I'll get books on vampires, I'll get books on magic, I'll get books on strippers, I'll get books on a bunch of different things, and they all look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, what? I have a vampire stripper. I need to research people.
Well, I joke all the time that I'm sure I'm on some, you know, NSA watch list somewhere with all the stuff that I research on the internet now.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
I look up poisons. I look up all kinds of crazy stuff. If anybody looks at my search history, they'd be like, so I usually research
for about a month.
I usually research for about a month before I start writing, and it helps, like, really, like, I'll go with a basic idea of what I want to write, but it usually helps shape, like, kind of the direction and the feel of my story just off of different ideas and inspirations I get from just doing research.
Well, now, especially with the shall we say, sexy books that you write, is there a tried-and-true formula that you have to stick to, or do you play around with it?
It really depends. I mean, you know, when you write romance, you have to have a happily ever after. That is the one really true thing that you have to stick for it to. It can be a happily ever after for now, but it has to have a semi-happy conclusion to the story. But the big thing I try to do when I write anything that's erotica or even just my romances is I'm a real stickler for the any of the steamy scenes have to have a point to the story, because I hate it when I'm reading a romance and they're being like chased by bad guys and then all of a sudden they find 2 hours to, you know, just sneak off and make the sexy time and then they go right back to being chased. I'm like, how does that work?
Yeah,
So I always try to make my sex scenes have made a point and make sense with the flow of the story, which has led to lots of people telling me that I have very interesting sex scenes in my book. And I say I take that as a compliment.
When you say interesting, what is, going into too much detail, what's one of the more interesting what's one of the more interesting setups that you've had?
What's the rating on this show?
Just in general terms.
I have one book. It's my steampunk erotica series, steamed up in steam heat. There's like these crystals that are purifying the air, and they're keeping everything like the energized and safe. But the energy supply is failing, so they're trying to find a new energy supply. So the scientist that's working with Tesla needs to find an alternate energy source, and he hooks up with the succubus. And so he's like, "Ooh, I can harness sexual energy." So he's got all these meters and charts and stuff, and so they do some exploring and some metering, and it's pretty cool.
She said metering. I like that.
I'm going to borrow that term. That's pretty cool.
Are they metering again?
They're metering.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, it's like it's kind of like Monsters, Inc. when they find out that laughter causes, creates more energy than screams, It's like
exactly.
We have solved the energy crisis.
That's right. It's fixed. Done.
So what's it like being in a household with a spouse that doesn't write and often looks at me like I'm crazy? What's it like living together as two writers?
We're always kind of doing something. It's crazy. Like, I mean, I don't really know any other way now. We just kind of go for it. I don't even know how to explain it, really, because we just do our thing when we have time, and that's that. It's pretty strange. It's like anytime we have the free time to make it happen, then that's what we're doing. And we bounce ideas off of each other from time to time, and we ask each other things. One of the things we're actually working on right now is a role playing game with a storybook for the role playing game from Harsh Realities. And And we've been kind of trying to bounce some ideas off each other for that, like all the different little places and things that need to go into the storybook. So that's been kind of fun lately.
Cool.
Yeah. Susan's a gamer. I know Susan. You got any questions on that front?
Well, actually, yeah. I was actually curious to know what exactly is this game that you guys are working on?
It's I don't even know if we're super allowed to talk about it, but it's, but oh well, we won't give away too much. It's a steampunk role playing game from the Harsh Realities company. They're doing Elfwood right now, which the same kind of thing, but it's more fantasy based. I forget the other game. Promised Sands was their last game that they did. And we're just doing the storybook for it, but it's a 100,000-word storybook. It's huge. So
nice.
We're literally like, but it's done as kind of a different form than what we're used to, because it's done in like a history book kind of style, like a textbook in a way, where literally every character, every place in the city or in these worlds, we're writing, a paragraph to just a half a page each. They're real small, so we've come up with everything we can possibly think of to stick in the steampunk world. It's like you know, we have a lingerie shop, and there's a tattoo shop, and there's, you know, everything you can imagine. There's literally hundreds at this point. And, God, we're not even quite halfway done with it.
No, wow. So they've pretty much given you free reign to build the entire world is what you're saying.
With their guidance, yeah. I mean, they've,
okay.
You know, they've kind of told us what they want, what they're looking for, and what certain aspects in it that they really want. But, yeah, at this point, we're making the world. There's actually worlds, so there's several of them. But we're focused in on their London-esque one at the moment, which is called Vectra. And it's but it's huge. You know, it's just, it's literally, it's hard because it's literally like making a whole world. I mean, down to the minute details of, you know, a lingerie shop or something, and then trying to make it steampunk and make it accessible to actual players.
Okay, I'm actually curious to see what you guys come up with. Now, this sounds like something that would be right up my alley as far as picking up a game to play.
It's fun. It's going to be called Extraordinary Voyages. But other than that, and like what we've been doing with it, I can't tell you much else about it. I don't honestly know what else it entails. I haven't really gamed in a long time. You know, I was probably like 14 the last time I was actually playing these. So it's kind of cool.
Wow.
Where it's a step back. But it's also really neat where, you know, we get to put our own spin on it too. So
that is really cool. Now, do you guys have any idea when this thing might become available?
As I know it, I'm going to guess. I don't, honestly, because I know that their Elfwood game is almost out. I think they're going to debut the Elfwood game but they're going to have it at Gen Con this year. And then I imagine that it'll be the one after the year after that.
Okay.
So are you guys coming back to Gen Con this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I knew more, but and I wish we'd love Gen Con. Like, holy cow, that would be amazing. And you know, they even mentioned, you know, maybe we could get out there and help them with the game and sell some books at the same time. So I don't know. We'll just kind of have to see. But this year, I don't think we have plans to go back to Gen Con. But who knows? We might. Because it would be really fun.
We do things really spur of the moment.
Yeah. Everything it can, like, develop in, like, a night. Like, oh, okay, well, you want to do this for real? Yes, let's do it. And then, boom, we try to just make it happen.
It usually happens when we're drinking. We're like, hey, you know what's a good idea? Let's do it. And then the next morning, we're like, yeah, it's still a good idea. Let's do it.
That's exactly right.
Well, so, Elizabeth, does anybody ever ask if you're the model on your book covers?
Often, actually, people do. Especially Love in the Time of Steam, people often think that it's me on there, but alas, it is not.
Well, I know. I give Stephen fits because I always like to have my author photo be something that's tied into the book. So I always go out there and find things that tie into the book to do a new author photo. And he's like, well, you know, we're ready to go to press. Do you really need a new author photo?
Hey, they're nice, though. I like them. And you do model. You do model as yourself in them. So that's kind of bold, too.
Well, yeah. I've thought about hiring a body double and just, you know, photoshopping my face onto it, but it just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's me. I've been working out.
Yeah. Maybe I should try male models instead of female models next time. It'll be more realistic.
Oh.
Well, your last one scared your editor because she hates spiders. So one of your latest ones scared your editor. So that's a good story.
Yeah, I'm surprised my editor could even get through this book with her fear of spiders.
I know she was rooting for the hero the whole time. She's like, kill it, kill it.
Yeah, we're not a fan of spiders either, so, yeah.
Well, I do have one friend spider. He hangs out by my elliptical. I named him Fernando. He keeps me company while I work out.
So while you're doing a spin class here, he's spinning in this.
Exactly. He keeps me company. He's my little buddy.
So have you guys thought about doing a series together, starting up a new world or a new series, and doing it as a team?
We actually have talked about it. We were thinking about setting it in different haunted places around the U.S. so we have an excuse to go on research trips together, and then some sort of paranormal investigators or something fun. And so we've been thinking about it. We haven't done that, but we should probably get on that.
Yeah, we actually kind of mapped it out last week, where we would want to go and kind of the things we'd want to explore. So yeah, actually we have, I don't know, it'll probably be a while before we actually tackled it, but it'd be cool.
So what's on your, on the top of your list of haunted places you'd like to visit?
Okay, well, I saw one today that looks amazing, and it's for sale. It's in Venice, and it's called the Island of Madness in Venice. Literally, that's what they call it.
I've seen this. This is where they used to have, where they put plague victims there on the island.
Yes. And then it turned into a mental home in 1922, and the guy that ran the mental home threw himself off the clock tower because of the ghost there. holy cow, that sounds amazing. I want to go so bad. But I just learned about this today. And I don't know, in the U.S., what have we talked about? There's several of them. We want to go to Salem. We want to go to Lizzie Borden's house. We want to go to – that's a bed and breakfast. We want to go to the Amityville home, but the bummer about that is you can just see it from the street. You can't actually go in it. And then the big one was you can tour the Warren's occult museum with all of the artifacts from The Conjuring and stuff.
Oh, cool. They actually let you go in there?
Yes, and they let you tour it. Sounds amazing. So,
well, I'll warn you though, the doll is really just a Raggedy Ann.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. But
okay.
I don't care. That's okay. It can be a Raggedy Ann. It all seems pretty freaky. We were actually watching these videos last week, on that, and they had a kind of sample tour of the place, and it was cool. So that would be one thing I would love to go to.
That would be awesome, but I'd be like going to a priest afterwards and bathing in holy water just to make sure nothing follows me out.
Just in case.
Well, you should send them to that place that you just did the writer retreat thing to. You said that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was freaky. Yeah, because I was in a room that was locked from the inside, and I had my laptop that I just, I got tired, and I put it off to the side. I didn't even turn it off because after a while it shuts off on its own. So I just kind of set it down on the chair, and I went over to the bed, and I laid down the bed. So it was clear across the room in a locked room. And when I got up the next morning, it wasn't where I left it. When I turned on the computer on and it powered up, it wasn't where I left it. It was at the start of the chapter. And next to the chapter number, still underlined, somebody was, typed, it had the word wake. And I was that's weird. Okay. I don't remember typing that, And then I just erased it without thinking about it. And then I'm like, holy cow. And then
Did
and then later on,
the story at all, or?
It just appeared right there at the top of the chapter heading, and it was like underlined, like somebody had just gone up there and like with the cursor and just typed it.
Weird.
But there was nobody else in the room. And then later on that night, I had it. Well, and then somebody came in with dousing rods, and the dousing rods. I was sitting on the bed with my laptop, and it was, you know, it's a big bed. And the building had been many things at one time, but it was a whorehouse at one time. And so then the dousing rods were like going to the empty side of the bed, and you know, people were asking questions of who it was, and the rods would go back and forth and whatnot and answer the questions. It was freaky. And then we all went to dinner that night, and I left the laptop on the bed. And again, I didn't shut it off. I never shut off my laptop. It just always powers off on its own. But I left it on. And then when I got back, and granted, there were only like six of us in this place, and we all went to dinner. And we were all at the restaurant. Nobody left the restaurant. We were all there. And when we came back, and when I went back up to the room, in capital letters with a bunch of question marks after it was the word why.
That is insanely freaky and awesome.
Yes, it was. It was nuts. It's even now it's giving me chills. But it was really freaky.
We went to a haunted theater the other day.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we went to. It's called the Harvard Exit Theater in Seattle. We went to go watch a movie there, and we said it was haunted. And we were up in the balcony, and nobody else was up there. And there's only a few other people there. And about halfway through the movie, we heard something moving around behind us, and we looked, and there's nobody back there. There was plenty of light, so we could see, but there was nobody back there. And we kept hearing noises off and on for like 10 minutes. And then we heard footsteps going down the stairs, but there had never been any footsteps coming up the stairs.
And it was that's the closest I've ever come to any kind of experience like that. And it was weird because it was, you know, there was only like, I don't know, seven other people in the theater, but there was no one in the balcony with us. And, you know, I had heard the place was haunted, and it looked pretty cheesy when you went in there, not the theater, but they had a couple things framed on the wall from like the National Enquirer and stuff like that from like the 80s, you know, really old articles. And then, you know, I went back, and after we heard all that, because it was weird, it was really close. And after we heard that, I went back on Google and Googled it. And apparently there's all kinds of stuff there. It's called the Harvard Exit Theater, and it is freaky. It's really cool.
Cool. That sounds like it came right out of my Cinema of Shadows.
It's very similar. Like, especially, like, they have all these ghosts in there and different kinds of – there's I don't know, there's like seven or eight of them. It was neat.
Awesome. Yeah, I've only had a couple of experiences before, but they've both been really 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 cool. And you know, I'm not one of those people that like hears a noise and says, well, let's go check it out, you know, kind of a thing. But I'm like, you go check it out, you know. But but it really is cool.
Well, your story is neat. We were actually following that on Facebook. We thought that was really cool. And, I mean, what a bunch of cool story fodder, too. A man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the last time we stayed at that place was when I was working on the book, which was, you know, because when I was doing the book, I wanted to put it, we had a ghost hunting team come in, and because I wanted to put to research as much as possible and put as much of the actual technology and stuff into the book. And aside from, you know, what you've seen on Ghost Hunters and whatnot, but just actually being there and seeing them, you know, in action, so to speak, it was pretty cool.
Like, did they have a bunch of instruments and stuff and get a bunch of
oh yeah Oh yeah, they had, you know, the EMF meters and the positioned, you know, remote cameras and had motion sensors and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And we you know, if you go on YouTube, I think, and I forget what it's under, but you can, they captured like a full body apparition.
Really?
It's like a light out, like a shape of a person that just kind of walks out in the middle hall and then disappears, and there was nobody up there.
Wow, that's amazing and really cool.
Well, it's just a really cool place. They've got a whole room where this guy, like for his whole life, it's basically the wood carvers have taken it over. So it's the Northern Wood, I forget the actual name of it, but it's a Wood Carvers Association. And so it's a bunch of people that get together and they carve wood into different, you know, either, you know, things to use around the house or just statues or whatever. But this one guy had spent his whole life carving nothing but wooden hammers. And they've got one room of that building that's like become a museum to him. And basically they have every hammer he ever, you know, from, I mean, we're talking like from like 3 inches long to 6 feet tall hammers. And it's just the freakiest thing, because you walk in there and you're like, who would spend their whole life doing nothing but carving hammers? But it's just really freaky.
That's
weird.
Yeah, after he died, his wife said, take the stuff out of my house, get it out of here.
I don't want
and so they made and so they made a museum out of it.
Wow.
That is pretty bizarre,
yeah.
I mean, that's a strange dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll hang out with people who've played maniacs in movies and stuff, and they're like the nicest people. But the people who sit around carving hammers all day long, those are the people you got to worry about.
Yeah, exactly.
So what? When do you find? Do you write more in the evenings or the mornings, or what's your? When do you find the most inspiration?
Whenever I have some free time, and preferably not when the kids are watching SpongeBob.
That's true. I used to be a night guy. Like, I was always writing at night, and now it's literally when we have free time. We actually have our own offices in the house, so that's pretty cool, but you know, there's so much going on all the time here. You never know, you know. So it's just kind of whenever you can.
And I find that if kids sit and talk to you while you're writing, pretty soon I start typing exactly what they're saying to me, and I'm like, wait, what a minute, what did I just say?
My son comes up to me all the time and will quote the whole exchange from that Stewie has. So, working on a novel? Enemies become friends. Friends become enemies. You know, he just does that whole thing. While I'm like, don't you have a place to be?
Leave me alone.
And then, on this last novel, I got to the last chapter and I was like really fighting to get through it. And so my son says, I can fix it for you. And I said, yeah, right. What are you going to do? So he walked up to my laptop and types the end and goes, there you go.
That's really helpful. I like
And what was funny is like where he typed it, I actually considered it for a minute.
Because
I read what happened before, and I'm like going, ooh.
Well, if I'm having a hard time coming up with names for my characters, I just ask my daughter. I'm like, what should I name this person? She's like, well, what? How old is she, and what is she? And I'll tell her. She's like, I think this name, like in the book that I have, the story I have in the anthology that Nick and I are in together, the main character's name came from something my daughter came up with.
Yeah, that coming up with names is always a chore. That's for sure.
I quite enjoy it because I use all types of, you know, I try to put anagrams in there and all types of stuff that mean other things. So it's kind of fun. And then I can hide some stuff in there. I was a big fan of Lost, and like I got kind of obsessed with like trying to hide things in my books that like Lost did with the show, where there was all types of hidden things and creepy things going on in the background. So.
Yeah, well, I say what you want about how they ended that show, but up, you know, for a long time, that show was just so layered and so detailed, and like, you know, it's like you know people would like do whole blogs about, if you look in the background in scene 23, there's this passage that was mentioned by so-and-so, you know, it's just like, really?
Yeah, and that was me. Every day after the show, that was me. I'd go to thefuselage.com and look at all of their nerdy stuff that they like, oh, well, check out the freeze frame I've got of the hatch. If you look on the left side, there's, you know, and it was like, it was intentional. All this stuff was intentionally put in there. So it was neat. I really dig that. But,
right.
Yeah, I was such a fan of the show. Personally, I kind of liked the way it ended, but.
You know,
I was kind of
a fan. I did too. I mean, I was, it's like when you think back about it, you're like, oh, well, they never said why women couldn't get, you know, have babies and whatnot. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it was, you know, it really did, you know, just end with the characters. You know, it's like you'd grown to love all these people over the years, and you know, you it was good to see them end up in a good place for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, and I wanted to shed a tear there at the end, so that got me.
Yeah. Yeah. Silence.
Oh, shit.
In Dracula.
Yeah. I just remembered the panel we were on. It was an urban fantasy panel.
Yes. I was at the convention.
Yeah, and then remember, I swear that we were on like another panel later. We did do one on vampires and zombies.
Yeah.
But then I thought we were on another one that had nothing to do with vampires, and somebody else brought up Dracula on another panel that had nothing to do with vampires. I'm like, why is everybody obsessed with Dracula around here? I mean, he's cool and all, but.
Well, you bet you really like nine panels in one day, Mike. Is that the one where you did like a bazillion panels?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was on a bunch, and they were like, it went late, too. There were so many of them.
Yeah, because didn't you do, like, an erotica panel at, like, midnight or something like that?
Yeah, and then I was on one about time travel, romance, and a bunch of weird stuff.
Oh, yeah, the time travel
fun,
romance
though.
One was good. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
Well,
I had a good time.
I remember I wasn't a panelist on the Dracula one, and you dared me to go to it and say, well in Dracula, and I did. I did. And just the look on your face as you fought not to laugh was just priceless.
I know. I think people probably thought I was drunk at that panel because I was just trying not to laugh the whole time.
I just kept waiting for you to slide your goggles down over your eyes and just sit there.
Oh man, we need to do panels together again soon.
We do. Well, you and Nick should come out to Imaginarium in September.
Yes,
oh,
that'd be awesome.
That'd be super fun. Huh. I think we're gonna have to plan a trip.
Yeah. For the moment, here we go.
And of course, Stephen, there'll have to be a Well in Dracula panel.
Yes.
If they come, we will do it. What do you say, Susan? Let's do it. If they come, we will
absolutely
deliver them that panel.
Yes!
I will make it happen.
We're
yeah
there.
That will be the, that will be the they will be talking about that for years to come.
Done deal.
What is,
all right.
Well, we're getting down to the wire here. So, what are some things that you're working on? What are some upcoming projects that you have?
I'm working on lots of projects, and I should probably focus and finish them. But one of them is called Spiritborn, and it's a urban fantasy. It's a girl that works for the Grim Reaper.
Awesome.
And besides the game that we're working on, I guess, you know, I'm working on Thomas Riley 3, and then which will be the last one. And I'm also working on what I'm trying to do is a new twist on zombies, where they're not really actually zombies, but zombie-esque in a way. And it's called Tribe, and that's really all I'm working on at the moment.
Cool. Well, when you mentioned that this is going to be the last one, do you feel any huge amounts of pressure wrapping up, you know, to wrap it up a certain way, or to, you know, are you trying to please everyone or just only please yourself?
No, I'm just gonna do what I think is right in it, because I don't know, like, I guess in the very first one, I got a lot where people were like, oh, well, you know, there should be a little more romance in it, and then, so I actually put a little bit into the second one, and then I think I'm going to end it more romantically than I ever thought I would. And I'm just...
I'm making him all mushy inside.
Maybe that's it. I'm not kidding. But I'm super excited. I don't really feel a lot of pressure. I'm going to just do what I think's right. And, you know, there's some weird decisions there. And it is kind of weird because it's been such a big journey for me. But... No, I'm super excited. Yeah, I'm just going to do what I think is right with it.
Well, cool. Now, that's really all you can do. I mean, you want to be able to look back and say that, you know, you did what you wanted to do and you weren't just, you know, writing to cater to other people's needs. Although,
that wraps up the trilogy. Are you going
to
do more in that world?
Right now, I'm actually, after this one, I'm going to jump probably back to my horror roots and kind of go that direction for a little while. I have some things on the shelf that I want to get back to and more spookier side of things. But yeah, I mean, I'll try to do the full Monty with it. You know, I want to really push these last steampunk books as much as I can and have a lot of fun with them, because I made so many friends in the culture. So I really want to take my time with it.
There needs to be more paranormal steampunk.
Yeah, there does.
I write paranormal steampunk. All my books are.
Keep it up.
Well, no, I know, but what I'm saying... I know, Elizabeth. But what I'm saying is that you know, you there outside of the one books that you write, I'm more of the steampunk out there is more romance and science fiction, and there's not as much paranormal out there as there should be.
Yeah, and the two worlds really fit together super good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's just so many possibilities.
That'd be cool.
All right, guys, we've got
the apparition abolishers. That's their whole shtick, is they're like steampunk Ghostbusters in a way, and that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Well, we've got about a minute left.
So, do you have any links? Where can people find you?
Really just on like our blog spots and Amazon.com and
Facebook. We have websites, but we've been lazy and haven't bought really good domains, so they're really long, complicated web addresses. So if you find me on Facebook, you can find the link to my webpage.
There you go.
Well, I really want to thank both of you guys for coming out. I mean, like I said at the top of the hour, these are two of my favorite people in the world, so it's great to have you guys on here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for coming. Yeah, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having us. We had a really great time. It was nice talking to you.
You bet.
Nice talking to you, too. Well, in Dracula.
I'm going to get T-shirts made for the conference for our panel.
There we go.
You got it.
There we go. Awesome.
All right. Well, good evening, everybody. And yeah, check back in with us next week at Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Good night, everybody.
Night. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.